Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. All right, in the book of Matthew tonight. Chapter 9, early in the ministry of the Lord, as he was making his way around the different regions, different areas. I'm thankful that the scripture gave results and then shared his burden, his desire. So Matthew 9, beginning at verse 35, we'll read on down to verse 38. I'll read one verse and you read the next, okay? We'll read out loud. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, when the Lord wanted to emphasize a point, he used repetition. Notice that harvest appears three times in just a couple of verses. He was emphasizing harvest, harvest, harvest. What was he talking about? Wheat? Olives? Grapes? No, that's not the harvest he was talking about. It was the people that he was encountering and recognized their needs, scattered like sheep, having no shepherd, no care, no protection, no provision, no watchfulness. And he encountered the sickness and diseases, but yet he had the answer for it, and he healed. Praise God. And I'm thankful that all of those things are included in the harvest as the Lord directs us and blesses us. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. No doubt, as the summer progresses, you have been busy if you're a gardener, if you have flowers, if you have berries, you've been busy. There's a harvest, and the rhubarb is always first. It's amazing how quickly it comes up. Still really cold temperatures at night, but here are those shoots coming up out of the ground, and so very colorful, so very nice to see. But that harvest is long gone, and now there's berries, there's zucchinis, there's cucumbers, and all the other stuff that you've worked hard to get to work, grow in your greenhouses, and then planting them out and so on. And the harvest is worth the effort, isn't it? You enjoy the fruit of your labor, and how that the berries are producing so abundantly. By the way, our raspberry patch is really producing. If you need some raspberries, come and pick. It just bothers me to see them falling on the ground, as there's a bunch of them that are ripe. Brother David came a couple of days ago, and he said he picked a half a gallon, and there's probably that much and more left in our small little patch, so you're more than welcome. Now, when we consider the Lord, we recognize that his title includes a lot of different aspects of his ministry. He's the Lord of power. He has all power. All power in heaven and earth. Praise God. And I'm thankful that we know he is the Lord of hosts. And other translations would render the Lord of the hosts as being the angel armies. And amazing that those stand ready to minister to you and to me. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, and we consider relationship. He's the Lord of peace. He's the Lord of glory. And all of those aspects minister to us in different situations that we encounter as we walk through life. And I'm thankful we know him as the Lord of Lords. Amen. The royalty that commands. And I'm thankful that we can exalt him, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and know he is the utmost and highest. And I'm thankful we can worship him as such. However, we have to remember, if we don't make him Lord of all, he's really not Lord at all. And there's got to be that commitment. There's got to be that step. There's got to be that surrender. And thank God he is willing to receive us and to make a change in our lives. And that's what the harvest means. There's a change. There's a difference. There's salvation. And I'm thankful the heart of the Savior reached out to the multitudes. He had compassion on them. He saw them fainting. He saw them scattering. He recognized their condition needed a Savior. And he was willing to step forth. Praise God. The Bible says he came to seek and to save. And it wasn't finances. It wasn't treasures. It wasn't material things. He came to seek and to save the lost. And thank God his touch makes a difference in each and every life. And I'm thankful that he provides for us. So he recognized the harvest and knew that there was something that needed to be done. And he directed his disciples to go into the harvest, that the Lord would send forth laborers into the harvest. And thank God we read in Scripture many, many who responded and were able to do the work of the Lord in a fantastic way. You know, if we were to go out into the community and say, come to this name meeting, it's the most dreadful thing you ever experience. It's sad. It's hopeless. You'll feel so helpless, but we want you to come anyway. Yeah, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? It wouldn't make any sense at all. But it's not that way. Praise God. We're able to say, the Lord will meet with us. You'll feel his presence. You'll know that he is interested in you, and he'll provide the blessings that are in store for you according to his will and according to his word. Now, that still may not mean anything to him. I mean, there are a lot of people that don't know anything about the word of God. And becoming even more so in terms of not being aware and not knowing. So, your experience is where your testimony becomes all the more important, because nobody has had the experience that you have had. Now, we all have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. We know the power of the name of Jesus Christ to remit our sins. We know we receive the Spirit of God speaking in a different language that we've never spoken before as a supernatural sign that the Lord has come within. Everybody has that experience, but not exactly like you. You don't have the background I have. We're sinners. We need grace. We need the love and compassion of the Lord. But you've not walked where I walked. Nor have I walked where you walked. You're unique. And so your testimony is very important. Your testimony is very necessary. So in Acts chapter 8, a young man was sent to the harvest. And he went to the city of Samaria. How? One man going into a city that was not even Jewish. They were a mixed group, and therefore there was prejudice, some discrimination that was there. That didn't stop Philip. The young man went into the city and began to preach Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there were phenomenal results. In fact, it says there was great joy in the city when they heard him preaching about Christ. Praise God. Why? Because the message was the resurrection. He died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb, but he came forth 3 days later, and he's alive and powerful now. Praise God. And that got their attention. Well, obviously, they'd heard of it some months before, and it was fresh in their memories of some reports about what happened in Jerusalem, a man being crucified, but he was seen alive for weeks afterwards. Oh, that's what Philip preached, and it was something very intriguing. So the converts, the people that changed their minds and their hearts, recognized the authority and power of the name of Jesus Christ, so they willingly were baptized in that name because it's an identification. It's a recognition. I'm aligning myself with him. I'm receiving his authority in my life. He is Lord. And it's more than a mental assent or mental decision. There's a spiritual dynamic that's at work that brings a change within our lives. Praise God. How many remember being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and how you felt and what a difference it brought into your life? Philip preached the kingdom of God. He preached the name of Jesus Christ in baptism. And there were many converts, but they had not yet received the Spirit. And we're talking about the harvest. These are the results of the harvest. They believed. They were baptized, but they had not yet received the Spirit. And so Philip summoned some of the apostles from Jerusalem, and Peter and John came to lend him some assistance. So what did they do? They began to teach about receiving the Spirit, and they told the people that this is what's going to happen, and they laid hands on them, and sure enough, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Now, a man named Simon, who was a sorcerer, had also been baptized. Okay, he recognized this is a good thing, but he was thinking, this crowd is going to mean some income for me. I'm going to be able to work the crowd and do my thing of trickery and deception, and I'm going to get some income out of this. See, he didn't. His repentance and his conversion was not adequate. It was not complete. It wasn't fulfilled. Because when he saw the apostles put their hands on the converts, the people in Samaria, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God came upon them, he thought, wow, that's really something. I'd like to have that ability. I'd like to have that power. And so he pulled out his wallet. He offered money to Peter and John for the ability to do what they were doing. That didn't sit very well with Peter and John. Your money perish with you, they said. You thought you could buy the gift of God with money. Doesn't work that way. You can't become good enough to earn it. You can't impress God enough to declare that you're worthy to receive his Spirit. It comes with repentance, with a desire to have him in your life and in exclusion of everything else, and him being the king of your life, the Lord of your life, and obedience to what his word says. Because that's what was happening. And then Simon thought he could capitalize on it. But they rebuked him. And he asked, to his credit, he asked them to pray for him, so that he would not be condemned. He would not be judged. But notice how the hand of God was demonstrated in such an incredible way that the city of Samaria was moved to revival. And the services were powerful. The name of Jesus Christ was exalted. The waters of baptism were filled. And people began to receive the Spirit as a supernatural sign of speaking in tongues took place. Praise God. The power of God. Now, what did the Lord do next? The Lord told Philip, leave Samaria and go to Gaza. You take a look at your map in the back of the book, in the back of your Bible. From Samaria down to Gaza, I measured it one time on the page. It was about 80 miles. So it wasn't just a jaunt down the block that Philip was called on. Philip was told, go to Gaza. And you can imagine this young preacher. What? I've got people to teach. I've got messages to preach. I've got people to baptize. They're receiving the Holy Ghost all over the place. Why should I leave now? But the Spirit said, go. And so, to young preacher Philip's credit, he left. And so now he's standing in the desert area, which is what Gaza is. And in the distance, he sees a chariot coming towards him. And the Spirit again says, go and join yourself to that chariot. And he's walked 80 miles now. He's traveled all that distance. It's hot. It's dusty. There's no water. But he ran towards that chariot. And I don't know what the interaction was. I don't know if he flagged him down. I don't know if he hollered out, wait, or whatever. But it was an Ethiopian who was traveling from Jerusalem back to his native land. And he's in the chariot, and he's just traveling along, reading. Well, it must have been kind of a leisurely drive, I guess. No big hurry. And he's got the scroll open. And he invites Philip to come on up in the chariot. You can imagine the exchange is more than just small talk. Huh, nice day, huh? Yeah, good weather. Yeah, and he probably said, what are you doing out here? What brings you out here? Why are you out here all by yourself? No means of support, no means of sustenance. Doesn't look like you're prepared to travel in the desert area and so on. And you can imagine his amazement when Philip said, well, the Spirit told me to. And then Philip hurried on to say, do you understand what you're reading? And the man declaring, no, I can't unless somebody explains it to me. Somebody guides me. Somebody shows me what it means. And he pointed to the scroll and the writings there and said, who's he talking about? Is he writing about himself? Is he writing about somebody else? And the passage we know is from Isaiah 53, which talks about Jesus being punished for sin. Jesus being put to death because of our wrongdoing, because of the way we lived. And he was paying the price for our salvation, for our redemption. Because bloodshed was part of what needed to be done clear from the beginning when Adam and Eve needed to be clothed in the garden. An innocent had to be killed to cover the wrongdoing. That's what Jesus fulfilled. And so, at that same passage, Philip preached about Jesus. And he must have elevated that name, exalted that name, done everything to let the man know there's something important about that name, because all of a sudden the chariot stopped, and the Ethiopian said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? You know, in other words, he made the connection. He knew the name of Jesus Christ was important enough for him to be baptized in, just like they did in Samaria. Well, Philip was just obeying the Spirit, just sharing what he knew to be true in the Word of God, and it made the connection. Praise God. And they went down into the water, and obviously a big enough oasis that both grown men could get in there, and he baptized him, because baptism means submersion, immersion in the water. So in the name of Jesus Christ, his sins are remitted. And then he came up out of the water, and Philip was caught away Man, what an experience that. I look at that as an example of what the Lord's going to do with the church when the trumpet sounds. Praise God. We're going to be caught up out of here, lifted out of this world and into His presence forever. Praise God. Amen. What a story Philip had to share now. He can testify about the revival in Samaria and how that whole city was turned upside down. He could tell about going out in the desert place, wondering what in the world he's doing out there all by himself. And here he encounters a man going to Ethiopia and baptizes him in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he gets airlifted out to another city. Didn't stop him. He kept on preaching, kept on going until he came to Caesarea. Why did he stop at Caesarea? Because God was already there. God was already moving. God was already working. And the harvest was continuing. But that's another message. We got to move on here with the idea that the Spirit is going to direct you and help you. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord used one individual, amazing, to reach into the city of Samaria and make a difference. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord himself went to, as we read, he went to all cities and villages in that region. He didn't leave anybody out. He doesn't want us to leave anybody out. Praise God. We can take the message to everyone. And I'm thankful that the power of the Lord reaches into every life and every area. Antioch was a city where the term Christian was first applied to followers of Jesus Christ. And in Acts 13 and 1, there are several individuals named: Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, Saul. And we might read that list and say, oh, that's good. Glad it's growing, it's increasing, there are more and more. But Manaen is important because he was brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch. In other words, one of the Herods that came into power and authority after Herod the Great died. Manaen grew up with him. And the influence that he may have had as a result of being in the same household, the same upbringing and so on, didn't stop him from believing in Jesus Christ. Herod, we know, believed in himself. Proud of himself, made a great speech and claimed power and authority for himself, but that didn't end well. Manaen, however, kept going, and he is evidence of the power of Jesus Christ to change people and to bring about the power of the Lord and the blessing of God that would come forth. Thank God that that change would come again and again. In Philippi, there was a woman named Lydia. She worked down by the river. She was a seller of purple. She had a business in cloth and so on, dyeing it and that sort of thing. She worshiped the Lord. And as a result, the Lord opened her heart to receive even more. That's what will happen when there's a sincerity, when there's a desire, when there's a recognition that God is who I need to seek. God is who I need to put first. And your heart will be open to receive even more. So sure enough, here comes Paul and Silas. And they recognize she has prayer meetings down by the river. So they came along, they joined in, they taught Jesus Christ. She was baptized, amen, and her whole household. Praise God. Don't stop praying for your household. Keep believing God for your household. Praise God. And thank the Lord, the power of God is there. Now, the devil shows up and tries to disrupt and tries to destroy, tries to distract. And Paul and Silas cast the devil out of a young girl who was being used by those who controlled her for fortune telling. And because she didn't have the demonic power anymore, she couldn't do that sort of deception. And the men got mad. And they had a big ruckus, and Paul and Silas were arrested and beaten and put in stocks. Now, That's not a very good outcome for the campaign, but God's not done yet. See, God is going to fulfill his plan. He's going to bring it about because he is Lord of harvest, and he wants that harvest to continue. So Paul and Silas, very uncomfortable, very thirsty, very hungry, hurting, in pain. And at midnight, they couldn't sleep because their feet are in stocks and they're sitting upright. So they just began to pray and sing. And while they're praying and singing, the place shook with an earthquake. God knows how to show up. Amen. Do you think Paul and Silas were worried? Do you think they were wondering, what's next? God, where are you? Why is this happening? Oh, they said, probably looked at each other and nodded and smiled. God is here. Praise God. The stocks were broken open, the jail cells opened, and everybody was at liberty, but they all stayed there because it was dark. And the jailer was about to end his life because that's what was required under Roman law. Your life was forfeit if one of your prisoners who was in your account escaped. He was about to do that. But Paul cried out to him, do thyself no harm. We are all here. And the jailer called for a light because it was dark in there. How did Paul know what he was doing? The Spirit gives a word of knowledge. Praise God. That's the operation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of God to move and work through you when you're following his command to be in the harvest. So he came rushing in to where Paul and Silas were, and he fell at their feet and asked, what do I need to do to be saved? Paul said, believe. See, that's the beginning. That's not the end. That's the beginning. That's the moving into the obedience of the Word of God. That's the taking the steps that are so important to be part of the harvest. Believing. Praise God. He took them home. It's after midnight now. He took care of their wounds and so on, and then he and all of his household were baptized. Didn't wait till morning, didn't wait till a convenient time. They recognized this is important, this is necessary, this is what we got to do. And so they did. Praise God. And thank the Lord. He rejoiced, the jailer rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I like the way that these instances describe the whole household coming to the Lord. Because they're not supposed to just send a delegate from your house to church. Everybody's supposed to come, praise God. Because God has something for everybody. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Laborers in the harvest. Mars Hill. The court of Areopagus in Athens, all of the Greek education and intellectual, philosophical aspects there. Paul went and preached at that place. And thank God, again, there were people who listened, people who received. It wasn't a big number, because a lot of them felt like, that's interesting. We'll look into it a little bit further down the road. Right now, nah. A lot of people have that attitude. And unfortunately, there's no record of them coming back to say, okay, we're ready. We want to hear more. Because Paul had to move on. Other cities, other towns that he needed to go to. See, because Paul was spirit-driven. His spirit was stirred within him, Acts 17 and 16. Acts 18 and 5, he was pressed in the Spirit. He just felt this necessity, this need. In fact, you can read in Corinthians where he says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He knew it was necessary, and he recognized this is what's going to change people. It's not philosophy, it's not religion, it's not any of the things that we might be able to present other than Jesus Christ. No, he's the one who's going to bring about a change. Praise God. And so we see it again Acts 18 and 8, a chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So they followed through again. The hand of God was there and the blessing of the Lord. Can you imagine how Paul felt in Acts 18 and 9 when he has a vision of the Lord? It's at night, and there's been controversy, there's been opposition, there's been difficulty and so on, but the Lord appears to him and says, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Praise God. Did that encourage Paul? Oh, very much so. And he continued right on. The harvest. Praise God. I'm thankful that the Lord of the harvest is able to work in our lives in such a wonderful way, and the power of God doing a great work. You know, the growth of the church in Acts chapter 2, 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then five times in the book of Acts, multiplied is used. Not just adding, but multiplying. That's the impact that the Lord of the harvest wants to have on those who want to respond to him and the message that's got to go out. In 9:31 of Acts, they had the church's rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. It's the whole region that the Lord said would be reached, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Praise God. I'm thankful that it's not something obscure, something that's, you know, way out there, and only every once in a while you're going to be able to make contact. No, that's what God wants to give you, the comfort of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Lord in edifying you. That's the building up and then being multiplied, the God of the harvest. Praise God. Did everything go good? No. No, James was killed. Peter was imprisoned. That didn't stop the harvest. And that gave even more of a testimony of the power of prayer. Because the church was gathered at Mary's house, and they were praying for Peter. And an angel appeared and escorted him out of the prison. Peter thought he was seeing a vision. He thought it was just a dream. And he gets out on the street, and he realizes, I'm outside. And he went directly to where the prayer meeting was going on. Praise God. Don't you know there was some excitement there? There was some recognition of how powerful the Lord is to be able to do a work and to be strengthened. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can put our trust in the Lord. And there again, there's another one of those verses about multiplying. Acts 12 and 24, the word of God grew and multiplied. Praise God. That's what God has in store. That's what he has in mind. And the church is not shrinking. The church is not to be backed into a corner and made to be defensive and feeling like we've, you got to be so careful of what you say. You got to be tolerant. You got to be open-minded. You got to be, you know, all of these things. I've got to be in the Word of God. I've got to be filled with the Spirit. I got to listen to the Lord of the harvest. That's what I've got to follow. That's what I've got to respond to. Society is saying, this is what you got to do. This is what you're in. Close the churches down. Keep the bars open. Close the churches down because there's COVID going around. Is God a God of healing? Yes, he is. Amen. And thank the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be irresponsible and all of those kinds of things, and reckless and ridiculous. No. But keep the bars open and close the church? What kind of government do we got? Amen. So, we've got to continue on and know the blessing of the Lord. Okay. Psalm 126, the Lord hath done great things. Praise God. It's a short chapter. There's only six verses. And one of the verses say, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Sowing in tears is not because the situation is hopeless, not because there's nobody listening or nobody responding. No, it's responding to the direction that the Lord of the harvest wants to put in your life. And that there are people who need to receive. They need to be set free from sin. They need to be delivered from addictions. They need to have the peace and joy of the Spirit of God in their lives. They don't know anything about it right now. All they know is party hardy and carry on. And no hope. No blessing. But you can go forth with the message and have the work of God take place in your life. And verse 6 of Psalm 126, he who continually goes forth weeping, that and not weeping because it's hopeless, not weeping because you feel helpless, no, because you know they need God. And you're crying out to the Lord to bring a change. You sow the seed, and you will doubtless come again with rejoicing. I like that. Doubtless. There will be rejoicing. And your sheaves, what are sheaves? That's a harvest. It's the harvest. The Lord of the harvest knows how you can apply and be directed in the things of God and see a harvest of souls. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can teach what the Word of God says. Jesus was teaching and preaching and communicating truth. He's living truth. And thank God we have that opportunity to share the Word of God as well and know the power of the Lord that is there. In Acts chapter 18, there's a young man named Apollos, and he's eloquent. He's mighty in Scripture. He knows the Word of God. But he's only been baptized by John. John said, there's one coming after me who is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And Apollos didn't have that yet. He just knew what John said about repentance. And boy, he lived it. He preached it. He shared it. And he was mighty in Scripture. Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers like the Apostle Paul. And they worked with him. They taught with him and so on. And they heard Apollos teaching about the Word of God that Christ is the Messiah. So they liked what they heard, and they called him over to them and began to teach him the Word of God and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Praise God. Did Apollos reject it? Did Apollos just, you guys are all wet? And you don't know what you're talking about. I know more about Scripture than you do. Oh, that wasn't his response. He was open because he was part of the harvest. And then he took his newfound knowledge, his newfound experience, and he shared it with others as well. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful the hand of the Lord is there to help us to reach and to reap the harvest and to teach and to keep disciples. Amen. I'm thankful we can proclaim what the Word of God says. You know, I think it's a good thing. I won't keep you much longer. It's a good thing for us to put a F in front of Acts sometimes and make it the book of facts. Are there facts in the book of Acts? Oh, yeah. There's people who were changed. Drastically changed, dynamically changed, divinely changed. Praise God. That man who'd never walked a step in his life, and he's over 40 years old. He's a beggar. That's all the income that he had. And they carried him, or he scooted himself, however he made it, over to the temple because he's hoping for the charity of the people who were going in the temple. And that's where he spent his days. And then he was carried or scooted back to his dwelling. What kind of life is that? But Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. And here's this man sitting there. And he's got his little basket or his bowl or whatever. And he's shaking it, hoping for their charity. Peter and John stopped. They said, look on us. And he looked because he thought, Ah, maybe they're good for a few coins. Ah, they're Pentecostal preachers, they ain't got nothing. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. And the lame man said, yeah, I thought so. I'm making that up. But Peter went on to say, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. 40 years, never took a step in his life. But now, this is a fact, Peter reached down and grabbed his hand and pulled him upright. And the man began leaping and jumping and stepping in excitement because God healed him on the spot. Amen. The book of facts. And I don't have time to talk about other healings, resurrections from the dead. Amen. And revival that changed whole cities like Philip, whole families like Lydia and the jailer and Cornelius, rebels, persecutors, murderers, blasphemers, like Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, the apostle who wrote over half of the New Testament. Praise God. Can God change people? That's the harvest. That's what he wants us to do. Praise God. Now we need to put this one up, Brother Levi. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. Because we're laborers. You know, that's what he wants. Laborers in the harvest. So this verse says, we are laborers together with God. Now that is an incredible statement. Being laborers together is fortunate because of all of our skills collectively, all of our abilities, all of our finance, all of our vision. Everything that we put together is amazing, and we can get the job done. But we're laborers together with God. Ah. So the divine aspect becomes a reality. And that's where you can see things happen because of the hand of God. We are God's husbandry. And that's that relationship to a harvest now. You know, the growth, the planting, and the taking care of the fruit or whatever it is that is being grown. And then that power is there. Praise God. And the harvest is reality. Now, I wonder, we wait upon the Lord, and we know that's scriptural. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Praise God. And you know how it goes on. We wait on the Lord. But it occurred to me as I was getting this prepared, is God waiting for us? We're waiting on the Lord. God, in the harvest, send me, use me, help me. And the Lord's saying, go ahead. I'll be with you. I'll help you. I'll show you how to teach. I'll help you read my word. And that's all you got to do is read the word. And the word explains itself. And besides that, like I said, nobody has an experience like you have. Your testimony is so unique. Don't be afraid to share it. Don't feel intimidated. Don't feel like you've got to have, you know, something brand new. You know, my wife received the Holy Ghost when she was 9 years old. I won't tell you how long ago that was. It was a long time ago. But does her testimony grow old? No. Praise God. It's exciting. It's powerful. It's wonderful. And the world needs to hear that. People need to hear that. one at a time need to hear that. Praise God. Don't you know, wait on the Lord. That's good, but don't keep the Lord waiting on you. Step out. Move forward. Share your testimony. Give witness. Praise God. You know, the hardship. Brother Merle caused us to pray. And we got word, the possible stroke. And I guess they did diagnose a stroke. So we're praying, oh God, touch Brother Merle. Praise God. And he just continued to improve. And now he's got a whole nother testimony. Praise God that the Lord healed him of a stroke. Praise God. And so, yeah, we better stand. I'll just keep on going here. Yes.
And it's so true, you know. I mean, he doesn't send a delegate from our family to go to heaven, no, but he sets the solitary in families that we have that burden for their
soul. Psalm 67,
verse 6.
Okay. Brother Levi, if you'd put that up, please. Psalm 67:6. Yes. Now, family. Think about that. Family. That's God's invention. God is the one who started the family. Is that's not the right one? Which one is it? 68:7? Okay, we'll get the right one here. 68:7, Brother Levi. That's not it either? 69:7. No. Okay, what is it? 68:6. Okay. God is the one who started the family, physically, biologically, the family, man and woman, praise God. Yes. Amen. Then, he's the one who started the spiritual family, the church. So, the Lord took care of us in both aspects, the natural and the spiritual. That's the harvest. And the Lord is able to take care. He took care of us. He's able to take care of all of Sterling, all of Soldotna, all of Alaska. Praise God. He's able to. But there's got to be the response. Respond to what? Respond to what you teach, to what you tell, to what you testify. Amen. How shall they hear? Except there be a preacher. Except there be somebody who go and tells them. The harvest is there. Praise God. And I'm thankful we can be a part of it. Let's come and pray. I'm so thankful he had compassion on me. When I was confused, I didn't understand, I struggled with comprehending the Word of God. I treated the Bible like a lucky charm, and I read it when I was in need of help, and then when everything was okay, I forgot about it. But the Lord's compassion kept reaching into my teenage life until I was able to make a step of faith and obedience to what the Word of God says. And oh, I'm so thankful that His compassion wouldn't let me go, that His love kept reaching into my life. And I'd stumble, he'd be there to say, this way, This way. Come on. Keep going. Praise God. And that was a long time ago. And he has never, never failed me. That's with healing, with direction, with provision, with blessing, with encouragement, with correction. I needed to be corrected, but he was there. He didn't hit me with a sledgehammer. There wasn't a big old celestial sledgehammer flying around out there with my name on it. No, it was his hand saying, no, 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 this way, come on. Amen. And I'm so glad I was part of the harvest. Amen. Repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It's real. It's powerful. It's the Word of God. It works. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us not to be afraid, but to move out into the harvest. Lord Jesus Christ.